Okay, tonight we're going to be looking into when Jesus comes back. I call this comfort in Jesus coming. And our scripture is 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. It's not very long, but it's full of all kinds of information. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, concerning those who are asleep, so you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For we say this to you by revelation from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly have no advantage over those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, even though sometimes it's hard to understand. Thank you so much for good commentaries so we can figure this stuff out. We just ask you to bless us as we study this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I will tell you that I learned a ton in looking into this. It makes me feel good because it opened up a lot of things that I had not really understood. Now, the background of this is the Thessalonians were new believers. They were predominantly Greek new believers, not Jewish. And they were confused about Jesus' return, which they had heard about, not read about, because at the time there really wasn't anything written about it yet. Paul wants to comfort them. And he uses the term asleep, which has given rise to a doctrine called soul sleep. I'll show you why that is not valid. But basically what it means is that when you die, your soul falls asleep inside your body, gets buried. Now, what if you burn it? What if it's buried at sea? What if it, you know, okay? And most people quite reasonably say, that's God's problem, not mine, whatever. But anyway, Paul says in another place, if you're absent from the body, which tells me the soul is not asleep in the body, then you're present with the Lord, which tells me you're definitely not in the body. Okay? You go be with Jesus. Your soul does. The sleep of the body, which will be renewed at Christ's return. In other words, Christ, even if you were cremated, even if you were buried at sea, even if anything, your body will be renewed to be a perfect body, and then we'll put the soul back in it. Okay? So the first thing is he wants to assure them about things. He's always telling them, don't worry, fear not. All these things that he says, he wants them to be assured. Asleep means you have died and your soul has gone to be with Jesus. Simple. Just as he died and was dead and his soul was gone, we have a lot of different discussions about where he went. Then he was resurrected. So the same thing can happen to us. We die, our body's in the ground, our soul is with Jesus. When the time comes, the body comes up, it's perfected, we put the soul back in it, just like Jesus' soul went back in his body, off we go. Okay, makes perfect sense. It's just the same as happened to Jesus. Which means we have hope. We have hope for us, if we bite the big one. We have hope for all of our relatives or anybody that we know and our friends who have gone to be with the Lord. Okay? Probably one of my best friends that I ever had was Bud Gilbert, and he's with Jesus now. That's okay. I mean, I figure it's going to be no problem. If Jesus comes back before I die, when I take off up here, I know who's going to be on point. It's going to be Bud going, where's somebody I can take out for the Lord? That's Bud. Okay? And I'll just fall in right next to him because I'm at that same kind of a warrior spirit. Whatever. But we have hope. We know that these people are not gone. They're with Jesus. They will come back. We will see them again. But there's no advantage, it says, to those of us who are still alive. Now, they were thinking they were going to still be alive. Right? And here we are, 2,000 plus years later. You were a little off there, bud. But at any rate, what happens is the dead rise first. And then we go with them. This is so that the souls and the bodies can get together. See? We're leaving body, soul, the whole nine yards. We're getting, you know, perfected as we're going up into the clouds. Their body is perfected and then have the soul reinstalled. So when we get there, we're that perfect human being that God wanted in the first place to go be with Jesus. There will be a shout of an archangel, right? And there's a song that I love. I used to think that Amazing God, the chorus to Amazing God, was the greatest thing that had ever been written in the history
amazing
of the world.
Amazing God or Amazing Grace?
Amazing God, you know. Our God is...
Oh, awesome God.
Awesome God, yeah. Our God is an awesome God. And awesome. Then Robin Mark wrote a thing, and the chorus to it is, behold, he comes, riding on the clouds. And I mean, it's just, you got to hear this, right? Here's this Irish guy, and Irish guys are warlike in the first place. Let's be realistic. Mm-hmm. All of us are. But at any rate.
We'll do the Marine version next week.
Yes. Yes. If you hear it, the Marine version, you know. And that's what they do. Behold, he comes, and the whole place goes, hurrah! You know, but at any rate, that's just, it's a wonderful thing. But that chorus, that is what, all of a sudden, everybody on the face of the planet is going to hear, behold, he comes! Right? And it's going to be, oh Lord, we're in it deep. I have a little thing I'm going to read later that will show you what those who do not know Jesus should be thinking at that time. But don't freak out. Okay? We're okay. We're the ones he's coming for. Now, what happens next? Well, we don't know how Paul got this revelation. Like I said, there was nothing written about it. And Paul says he'd been given a revelation. Now, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of doctrine we've got that came from Paul that when you go back and try to find it somewhere else, no. And you think, okay, he's making it up out of whole cloth. No, he is writing what God told him because God made him the apostle to the Gentiles to give them all the information that they can understand without all the background that the Jews had. Mm-hmm. Everyone should know what's happening. But those who are not believers will be totally confused. They just, what in the world? Now, he will receive all of us and take us home. Now, this is where people get upset at me. Because they think, this is why I'm saying the tribulation at the end of the rapture at the end of the tribulation. I don't really believe in that because Jesus coming back in Revelation is this great army of all the Christians that ever were coming down on top of the devil's head. Antichrist first, and the false prophet, and then the devil himself, and come right on top of their head and just wipe them slick. Okay? That's Jesus coming back. This is when he meets us in the air. There's a difference. We go up. Mike Warnke used to say, if the rapture comes, I'm grabbing a sinner in each hand, and just as we pass the clouds, I'm going to say, boys, you want to get saved? Because I'm about to let go. And at any rate, this is just grabbing the church. It's the removal of the church. It's not Jesus coming back. Okay? He will receive us all in the clouds and take us home. There will be no believers left. Once again, I am a pre-tribulation kind of guy. I believe it will be a situation with no believers left. Even if it happens mid-trib, there will be no believers left. But there will be believers created. There are people right now, and everybody calls them conspiracy theorists or whatever, and they're making DVDs, and they're making CDs. VCRs and things that are actually telling people, okay, if this just happened, let me explain it to you. Go find a Bible wherever you can and follow through, and he'll explain it to them. And now they give their life to Christ. Praise the Lord. Sorry, you get to go through the tribulation, guys. But they're going to make it. So most believe this is the beginning of the tribulation. Some believe that it happens after 3.5 years of the tribulation. In that scenario, the Antichrist will come to power immediately after the rapture. I believe Antichrist, we may see him just before we're called away. We may start to figure it out and know there's a high probability it's coming. But you won't know when. I mean, the best rule to remember is if anybody thinks he knows when it is, you can be sure that is the time and day it is not. Because Jesus said, nobody knows, including me. Only the Father knows. Antichrist will come to power. I believe the first 3.5 years is him coming to power. Mm-hmm. And then he turns the corner, and now he turns in to the actual Antichrist. And he begins doing things that are completely anti-God. Worse than we're seeing now. And it's pretty bad anti-God now. Okay? But the people who are here now doing anti-God stuff, Jesus could flick them away with nothing to it. I believe Antichrist is going to be the most powerful anti-Christian person ever in the history of the world. Second most powerful will be the false prophet who will be building him up. But at any rate, once he comes to power, then we know we have 3.5 years of absolute hell. It gets bad. People are killed. If they find out you're a Christian, they'll kill you instantly. This is not a bad thing. You go straight to Jesus. Okay? So what does this all mean to us? First of all, we should not be confused. Okay? As I've always told you, this is my belief. This whole thing is in symbolic language. So often we have seen things that have just completely turned our doctrines around. For years you heard people, and there are still documents and books that say That Israel's not coming back. Israel is not going to come back. This is the church that is talking about. And they make all of these excuses because we know Israel cannot come back. And I heard one person said, there's a place in here where it says, once this happened, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. That's when all the theologians are changing their books. Because there's Israel. And it will never go away. And like I said, God said, when Israel comes back, when it is reestablished, forget it. You don't ever want to fight with these guys. Israel never, ever loses. That's just the way it is. We should not be fearful. This is what actually got me doing this. R.A. Torrey was an American evangelist, pastor, educator, and author in the early 20th century. You may see a Torrey study Bible. This guy was brilliant. He was up there with Scofield and all these other people. There's an account of his preaching to a crowd of nearly 3,000 on a day when there hadn't been a cloud in the sky yet. As he concluded his sermon, he said, "It may be before we arise in the morning or before we sleep tonight. It may be before we've finished our lunch today. Indeed, it may be that before I finish this sermon, we will hear the sound of the trump and the voice of the archangel announcing, 'He's here.' At that moment, there was a crash of thunder and a blinding flash of lightning filled the auditorium with light. In a panic, the crowd rushed to the exits. All except one woman who sat in the front, she threw back her head and laughed. Afterwards, she said, 'I thought the Lord had come.' And that was what everybody else thought. But their response had been one of terror. Hers was joy. This is it. We're going to go be with Jesus. Way cool. You know, Jesus is coming again. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." 2 Peter 3:10. Jesus referred to himself in a parable when he said, "The master, that servant, will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he does not know." Luke 12:46. John reiterates the truth in Revelation 16:15. "Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on." Are you heeding Jesus' warning? The truth that he is coming again is a reassurance to the one who believes. He wants you to be ready, to be like the woman in the front row listening to Tory's sermon. Today in America, there are far too many who are not ready, for whom Christ's return will not be a pleasant experience. You will find them everywhere, including the halls of the nation's government, courts, and military. Intercede for their salvation while there's still time, and wait eagerly for him with joy. Don't be fearful. It's nothing to fear. When the rapture comes, we'll go be with Jesus. When Jesus actually comes back and hits the ground, we're going to be with him. And we're going to be fighting for him. As you may imagine, Jesus never loses. Okay? Sora Levy used to say, "The Bible is a book with the answers in the back." Revelation. Guess what? We win. We should be longing for that trumpet call. Oh Lord, please. And I've said this many times, people laugh at me when I say it. I said, "Oh Lord, please come now. I don't like it here. Get me out of here." But, once again, like Jesus, whatever is in your will, I'm going to do it. And I always think of my friend Rock when I say that, because they said the last thing he said was, "Oh Lord, just one more. Let me bring just one more." That was Rock. He was the epitome of an evangelist. We will not be around for all the bad stuff. I believe that. I believe that even if we go through the first 3.5 years before the rapture comes, We'll get out of here. I think that's why he's coming for us, was he wants to take us out of it all and saying, I'm not having you go through this. You've already made your decision. Some people say that what this is for is it's to teach us a lesson. I believe it's to reward us for having already made our decision and being ready to go. Okay? My son Walter wants to stay because there's a part where the Antichrist gets whacked. Now, he doesn't stay whacked, but Walter wants to be the one to whack him. And I'm going, there's kind of a low percentage chance that that will actually happen. If you're going to have somebody stay behind to whack him, it had been me or Bud Gilbert, because we're the, you know, ones who could do it. But at any rate, there were other people who could do it, but not who might want to. But we want to take as many people with us as possible. When this happens, we want billions going with us. We want there to be few people left behind. There won't be. We know the way that it's going now, we can see. But God says it's going to come when the full number has come in. We don't know what that number is. You want to bring about the rapture? Bring people to Christ. The more people who come to Christ, the closer we get to whatever that number is. And when we hit it, then we all go home. And the only thing that comes after that is a lot of fun at coming back and demon kicking. So I just didn't want, that's why I say comfort in Jesus coming. Don't worry about it. It's nothing to worry about, but people do. And there were people who should worry about it because they're going to get left behind. There's a whole series of books called Left Behind. And that series takes the same principles that I do about pre-trib, pre-millennial, and everything. So anyway, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here today. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help this little church as we move on. Help us to continue to grow, not because we want to be really big, but we want people to know you and more people to go when that time actually comes. Go with us throughout our lives. Guide us and direct us. Help us not to be fearful, but to look forward to your coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys. Thank you.